All right. You are really ready, and I very appreciate that. Open your Bibles if you have it, or you can look to the screen. During this whole summer month, we've been doing a study through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse, just going through it. And one of the things we've done just for this particular study is we've encouraged you to read along. And so we take about 4 to 10 verses and we read together. To me, there's power, obviously, in reading the Bible and reading it out loud. And for some people who haven't yet discovered that, let me encourage you. Just don't read it with your eyes. Say it. Let your ears hear you speak the word of God. And just use this as an opportunity, testing time, to test the waters of the power of God's word in your life and see what God will do. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read out of the New Living, Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 11 through 16. 11 through 16. The count of three, we will read together. Let them get it up there. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let me begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for everyone that's here. Everyone under the sound of my voice, we thank you, Father God, for your presence, your goodness, your truth. We thank you for your word. I pray today that heaven would touch the earth, that your anointing, your truth, your power, your presence would touch the lives of the people that are here in the building, those online, those in the portico, those in the parking lot. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your plans that you have for them. That you called us to build each other up. You want us to grow. We thank you for victory and strength. For you have not called us to surrender. You've called us to a land of conquest. We thank you for victory over the challenges. Victory over sickness. Victory over lack. Victory over fear. Victory over any tactic of the devil. For your word tells us, and we decree it boldly, that you have called us to be more than conquerors. We are the head and not the tail. We are victory. We are victorious in every situation, and we give you thanks. And everybody said, amen and amen. Last week, we took the context from Ephesians about the benefits of community, referring to the church, what happens in the local church. Because if we're not careful, we'll misread and misunderstand. And this has actually happened for a different reason. But people started believing that, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can watch it on TV. I can watch it online. I can disconnect. And it's a trap of the devil, we talked. Because if you are trying to be an island to yourself, you miss out on something that God has for you. Because there's something about coming together in worship, coming together in prayer, coming together, working together. The Bible's very specific. Even as the day approaches, we get closer to the return of the Lord, the Bible said, and we saw last week, to make sure that we're coming together more, not less. The devil doesn't want you connected to the body of Christ. The devil doesn't want you connected with other people. Want to put 1,000 to put 10,000 to flight. The devil wants you to run. The devil wants you by yourself. Because there's power in agreement. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. So it's just not you and your spouse, and praise God for that. But there's a benefit to coming together in community, the context of community. Early on when the pandemic happened, I told my staff, I said, what the Lord's placed on my heart is, number one, is the feeding program started expanding, started exploding, and because the need of people for food was increasing. Stores were closing, supplies were diminishing. And so we just prayed, all right, Lord, show us what to do. We decided as a church that we're not going to shut down and we're not going to take a step back, but we're going to believe God. That in any situation, in all situations, God gives us victory. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we look and read the Bible almost like it's a fairy tale story and say, God's given us a victory. Oh, not except for this place. God will give me victory. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. I got a boss that creates me a headache. God wants you to be gives you the victory. Yeah, but the doctor said. And we'll tend to isolate our situations wherever God will give us victory in principle, but not in the reality in our life. And I'm telling you, regardless of the surroundings, you can have victory. Can I get a better amen? Amen. That means if you got a, God forbid, a bad doctor's report, or if a banker calls and want to know where your car's at, or if the boss calls and say we need to make cutbacks, you need to be in a position that your faith is so built up that you knew that before you got there, Jesus was already there, because the Bible says he sees the end from the beginning, and when he has saw it, he's already made a way of victory, not just escape like I'm a hatch and I'm trying to get out of here, but he makes a way of escape, which literally means a place, a path for victory. For no weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you. We got to get back to not just looking for the new thoughts, but get back to the old revelations that should be foundational within us. And when tested, this is why the Bible says, this is how we know that the love of God's been perfected in us, that in the day of judgment, and that word judgment in the Greek literally means testing. In the day of testing, we will be confident, because as he is, so are we in this world. See, I want you to rise up no matter what the enemy tries to throw in society. You'll be like David that said, 1,000 might fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near my dwelling. Not because you're copying and repeating somebody else, but because you have an understanding on who your God is. You have an understanding that he is more than enough. You have an understanding that he is your shepherd and you will not lack. You have an understanding that he is your healer. You have a revelation that he is the tower of strength in any situation. David said the name of the Lord is a tower of strength. Most of us all know the other verses, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. But he also went on to say, the name of the Lord is a tower of strength. What am I telling you? In the days that you feel weak because you've been looking at the winds of the storm and the waves that are blowing against the boat of your life, I challenge you, I encourage you, get back to the basics of who God is in your life and begin to say, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to give you thanks. And in the tower of strength, you are stepping into a place of strength. When you walk out of his presence, you don't walk out depressed, for in his presence is fullness of joy, the Bible says. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I'm talking to somebody today, and the devil might be beating against the boat of your life with the waves of the storms he's created, but I'm telling you, don't slow down, don't stop, don't detour, don't turn around. Rise up, wake up, stir up the Jesus on the inside of you. Stir up the Jesus on the inside of you, and let him know that you are not alone in this fight, that you're not by yourself in this fight. For greater is he, greater is he, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you believe that, take the next 10 seconds and give him a praise. Since when do we allow the weather to determine our direction? Since when do we, listen, I heard one preacher say, and I thought, that is brilliant. We need to utilize that. Since when do we allow evil people to direct God's people? Since when are evil people finding the mind of God? No, we find out the mind of God, and then we get in the boat and we move. And we move to the direction of what God says. And people will cry, people will complain, people will threaten, people might mock. It does not matter, but when you get to the other side, people will know why you came. Can I get an amen? For when Jesus came to the other side, the problem of the man who had so many demons that no one could chain him, they couldn't imprison him, they couldn't shut him up. He was so demonic, oppressed and depressed and possessed that he would even cut himself, screaming and howling and living in the cemetery. He was a burden to the society. He was a problem to the society. He tormented them. They didn't want anything to do with him. Can you imagine trying to go visit somebody in the graveyard only to be in fear because that
that demon-possessed person might hunt you down. I'm tired of the church Christians walking out to outside of the doors of their world and outside of the doors of their home, being in fear the enemy might see them. Listen, I don't care where you go. You might walk through a graveyard. You might walk through a Quick Trip. You might walk through work. You don't need to be afraid of the enemy. No, when Jesus showed up, he solved the problem that the city could not solve, the community could not solve. You're called to more than just surviving. If you're trying to survive any storms, you're missing out. You're called to be a game changer. You're called to be a problem solver. You're called to step your feet down. And wherever you put your feet, you have authority and bring peace back into the homes and the lives. We're called to bring hope back in the lives of people. We're called to bring peace back in the lives of people. We're called to bring healing and health back into our community. We're not called to survive. We're not called to hide out. We're not called to close our doors. We have a sound, and it must be heard to the ears of people that God has called us to. Don't tell us just to wait out the storm and then do what you do. No, it's in the midst of the storm. It's in the darkness of the moment that the light shines brightest. That's the time you can see where your faith's at. I'm not saying copy somebody. You got to operate at your level of faith, Romans 14. But if you're operating your level of faith, don't blame other people for operating their level of faith. I'm just telling you where we're at. Hell or high water, prison or freedom. We're going to do what Jesus tells us to do. And we are going to preach the gospel. We are going to preach the gospel. If it means we'll see you on the other side of eternity. I'll see you in heaven. You better make it, because I'll be ticked if you don't. Hallelujah. We are not called to agree. We are not called to concede. We are called to conquer the enemy who's trying to steal, John 10:10, kill and destroy. And let me just give you a different perspective that we should already have as a church. Paul's very specific. He said, it's to your benefit that I stay, but it's to my benefit that I go on. Listen, God, so many people are afraid of, oh, what if I die? I tell you, if you're a born-again Christian and you're loving God and serving God, if you die, you go to heaven, you are promoted, life's greater, life's better. Nobody ever goes to heaven and then wants to come back and live on this earth. We are here for assignment. Quit being afraid of something that's already been defeated. It's an enemy. It's an enemy. And the Bible tells us in Revelation, it will be the last enemy that is in prison. Yes. Oh, what about? Come on. Ooh, where am I going? Help me, Jesus. Thank you. We are going to obey God. And there's power in community. There's power. You're not weak. I know in some circles and churches and denominations, and that's why I say on a regular basis, I'm into a real relationship with Jesus. I'm into relationship and not religion. Because too many people know the rules and the boundaries of what they have to do and what they can't do, and they don't know him. And you find out who knows him when the storm starts beating. Doesn't matter what title you have. I've seen dear old grandma, soft-spoken, that had no fivefold ministry title, no high position, but all of a sudden they knew God and they knew how to get a hold of God and they knew how to pray. And when a problem rose up, get out of their way, because they became something more than what they appeared in the natural. And they begin to take authority. They begin Matthew 18:18, binding on earth will be bound in heaven and loosing on earth. They just believed the word. They didn't complicate it. They weren't highly educated with major doctors. No, they just believed the word of God. They just believe the word of God. Too many people are trying to get such titles and accolades, and it's good to be educated. I'm not against education, but some people are doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it because they're insecure and they need a fake it till you make a perception so they look smart. And you have to be smart, obviously, to study and get those degrees. But sometimes we have become so smart, we have lost the basics of just believing. Jesus told Martha, didn't I tell you, if you would just believe, don't complicate it. If you would just believe, you'll see the glory of God. I'm telling you, church, today, if you get back to the basics of believing, quit complicating it, quit trying to overanalyze it, quit trying to theorize it, quit trying to get all the conspiracies, just believe. If you just believe, you can see the glory of God working in your land, working in your neighborhood, working in your home, working in your body. Just believe. Shout, I believe.
I believe.
Come on, shout, I believe.
I believe.
That's what Martha said. I believe, Lord. Okay, let's go. I haven't even got to my notes yet, but we're going to hang for a little bit. And when he said, remove the stone, that's when her belief was challenged. Her belief was challenged at the moment of instruction. When God says, do something, just simply obey. Amen.
Amen.
I believe, Lord. Okay, I want you to do this. I don't know if I believe that much. Why? Because your actions define if you believe. Your actions. Oh, I believe. I believe I can believe and not obey. Well, probably not. Because we're called to live differently.
Yes.
We're not called to be. When Peter says that we're a peculiar people, it didn't mean that you were weird in the way you talk, the weird in the way you dress, and the way you act. No, no. You should stand out. Jesus said you're a light. You don't put the candle and hide it. You put it on the table so it benefits everybody in the house. And then he goes on to say, now you're not only a candle, a light, you are a city on a hill that cannot be ignored. Listen, let me encourage you in your own prayer, and then we're going to get into our notes. Let me encourage you in your own prayer. When you begin to read stuff and hear stuff and watch stuff in the news, and you begin to watch stuff on social network, and you begin to listen to people tell their predictions and their projections, and the devil starts messing with your mindset and begins to say, oh, it's going to get bad. Oh, they're going to shut us down again. Oh, they're going to do this. Oh, no, don't get into fear. Take a moment. Set it down and begin to say, Father, I thank you that the darker it gets, the brighter your light will shine. And I thank you that the more people, that they're going to be looking. They're going to be looking for a solution. They're going to be looking for an answer. They're going to be looking for some hope. And just say, Lord, I'm available. Use me. Do what you want. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Just use me. You show me what to do and I'll obey. You show me what to do and I'll obey. I'm believing that even if they try, I don't. And again, you could say, oh, it's the medical. You could call it the World Health Organization. You could say it is this group or that group or this political group or that. At the end of the day, let's not fight on who is evil. Because the evil is not just the person. The evil is the devil. And you have authority. And I'm believing that if they try to do anything, all of a sudden in St. Louis, Missouri, they might not know who you are. They might not know who we are. But all of a sudden, there is hundreds and not only thousands of people that will rise up doing different things, doing their thing that God tells them to do. And they'll be able to say, I don't know why, but it seems like. Why can't we have a 50-mile radius of Hope Church that all of a sudden, any people that are sick, it just gets... I don't know why there's no virus in that 50-mile radius. I don't know why people, even if they, wouldn't it be so crazy amazing? Can you imagine that if people drove by on the highway and all of a sudden they were sick and symptomatic, and as they drove by the church, the anointing of God, because you are gathered together, all of a sudden it's so strong, and people drive, I don't know why, they're like, I don't know, something about driving near that building, I don't know what it is, but some reason on our map, it shows anybody who lives in that area, they just aren't getting it. See, I believe instead of praying, oh, Lord, if I get COVID, let it be not so strong in symptoms. Help me just survive it, not die. I want to be like the Bible, where they said that even when Peter walked down the street, if his very shadow came across him. You have so much power in you that you don't realize. You're looking to your feelings to justify your power. You're looking to your emotions to justify your authority. You have so much power you don't realize if you dare to believe. If you dare to believe. My God, what would happen? What would happen? Could you imagine? How would they deny that? How would they overlook that? Whew. I'm going to think about that for a second. I wasn't planning on saying any of this, but I'm just... I say look up, look to heaven, begin to raise your hope, raise your expectation, raise your belief according to the word of God. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord another hand clap. Out of this passage we read, I want to talk about a different context. Last week we talked about the benefits of community, the relationship that happens in the local church. The benefits of community. But I don't want to just talk about and leave you with the idea of the benefits, because there's also the practical application on the process, the path, the steps to community. Lord placed this on my heart after a conversation. My wife and I had a meal just recently with one of our family members that had moved out of state. And they were in the process of finding a church and getting involved in the church. And the comment was made, you know, I'm coming, but I'm just wanting to figure out, how do I get involved? How do I get to know people? And maybe you're there today. This is a very practical question. You come, maybe you give, and you're like, okay, how do I get to know this many people? How do you get to know anybody? How do I get involved? How do I have that community? Because we can talk about the benefits of community, but if you don't understand the process or the path to community, and it's very practical and yet very spiritual. God knows what he's doing. Say, God knows.
God knows.
See, the church is not man's idea. Now, man's got involved and done some crazy stuff, but the idea of the church is God's idea.
Amen.
So I want to talk about some of the path, the steps, you might say. Step, I'm going to give you three steps. Not 25 steps, just three. There's obviously more different ways you can deal with this, but for our time together, three steps to community. Number one, step number one is to choose to belong. Say, choose to belong.
Choose to belong.
You know, it's at the end of the day, it's your choice. We would call that membership. Now, at Hope Church, different churches do it different ways. Some churches you have to take a class. Some churches you have to stand up and come to the front. Some churches, they'll have you stand up and someone hold your hand and walk you down. Some sing to you. I mean, that's their own thing. We don't, that's just not my thing. It's just not. I have to do it the way God's given me personal style. And so I've gone and visited churches over the years if I was out of town, and the last thing I wanted them to know when I walked in the door is who I was. Have you ever felt that way? Right? I have churches, so I'm sitting there like, any guest? And I'm like, I'm not raising my hand. Not one moment. I don't want them to know my name. I don't know. Because they'd have people stand up and tell us a little about yourself. And do you realize the two greatest fears for people is one, to be isolated in a group of people they don't know. And two is, and the second, which is actually the biggest, is public speaking.
Right.
So what do some churches do? The people have never been in there. Oh, stand up and talk. Yeah, right. Not going to do that. Or some, they literally turn around and sing to you. Now, maybe that's your thing, okay? Every church is not going to be the right thing for every person. Just me, stylistically, and you know the best seat in the house if you're a guest, right? It's the one closest to the back door, so you get out the fastest. It just is. Because you don't know what's going on. You don't know what everybody's believing. You don't know if it's going to be weird, some weird stuff. And so it's like, let's go, but let's sit near the back. And if you're in the back, that doesn't mean you're a guest. That's just the hottest seat for those who are new. But in the process, and that's why we want people, I do not put pressure on people to join Hope Church. See, I flipped what I call the diagram a little bit. Because typically in some churches, and again, if you are watching in this way you do it, or if you've been, and you should be a pastor in this way you do it, I'm not saying it's wrong, it's just, we got to find our style. And typically, a lot of times, in my opinion, the pressure is always on the newest people, and it seems like the people at the top in leadership get away with everything. I flipped it. So I figure all the new people, you know what I mean, all the baby Christians and all that, we give them the most space and grace, but more responsibility, because the Bible says to much given, much is required. And so to me, the responsibility and the pressure of standard and performance is on the people at the top, not just the... And so I don't put high pressure on people to join the church. Now, it might help the church grow in numbers if we, like a salesperson, went after everybody. But I'm determined that I want people to be part of Hope Church because they have a revelation this is where they want to be.
Right.
And so we'd have a common phrase you might hear, hang out and hide out. Now, we've had some people hang out and hide out for, like, water baptism, public confessions. He said for 9 years, and praise God. But that's not the intent. The intent is to give you a little bit of time. I've been hanging out and hiding out for 20 years, Pastor. No, if this is your church, we don't want you to hang out and hide out.
Right.
We want you involved. But you have to choose to be a part of a local church.
Right.
That's the beginning. If you're like, well, I'll just go to hear the word or get a little bit of worship and because I like the music or because my friend goes and I'll just go and hang, that's great. But until you make the choice, I want to be part of that community, that local church membership. Because that's how I define it. I don't define it by an event. Because over the years, my parents were pastors of Hope Church for 38 years, but I grew up in around the church, and I've seen people shake hands, walk the aisle, take a class, sign a card, do the whole scheme, and say, I'm a member, and in their mind, they felt like they're a member because their name's on a list, and that you wouldn't see them again for 6 months until the next crisis of their life shows up. And to me, it's about relationship. That would be like, find somebody you're in love if you're single and you get married and go to the altar, go to the church and get married and say, I so love you. I'm glad we're married. I'll see you the next time I want something, and you leave and disappear. Well, that's not a marriage. That was an event toward a marriage. Do you see the point? A marriage is an ongoing routine of relationship. A membership is about relationship. If so, someone says, I want to join. Wonderful. That's the door entrance way, but it's really a relationship. And it's choosing. You don't wake up and tell your wife or tell your spouse, I'm going to go to work, and then afterwards I'm going to pray and see where God leads me to sleep tomorrow night. Where have you been for? Well, our neighbor, she's a really good cook, so I've been eating dinner and hanging out with them. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be divorced. It's not going to make it. It's a commitment to an ongoing choice. See, some of us we think we're led by the Spirit. We're literally led by our emotions, and we wake up. And I've had people tell me that. Lord, show me what church to go to. That's just dumb. Find out where God wants you to plug in. Get involved and be a part of what God's doing. It got quiet. And once you're committed, you don't need to go to 5 different churches. Again, that's like eating at 5 different families' homes. And I'm not, again, of going to special meetings or anything like that. But the reality is some people just don't understand what happens in the dynamic. You know what I mean? You can get some really whacked out people if we're not careful. And there is some whacked out people in the church. The moment you're like, I'm going to commit to any church, you know what happens? The devil will try to send some weirdo to you to discourage you. And you're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be a part of that church. And I'm not looking at anybody, so no one thinks that I'm talking to them. He looked right at me. I knew he said what he said that I wasn't. But choosing to commit. Choosing to belong. Ephesians 4:16, out of the verse we just read, he said, he makes the whole body fit together. You have a place. Yes. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Romans 12, verse 5 says, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's a commitment. It's a choice. I'm going to belong. See, I choose to belong. So don't worry about the weird people. They come and go. You know, and it's amazing to me. I've seen and came across some really weird people. You know what I mean? Even as I had one lady who had joined the church. And she came up to me and said, Pastor, I've been coming for a few months. I'm joining the church. And I said, wonderful, glad to have you. And I asked about them. I mean, where are you from? What church? She said, told me a church she's been years at. And said, the pastor died, so I wanted to find a new church. And so, oh, glad to have you. About a month later, she showed up and said, Pastor, I'm a little frustrated, concerned. I said, what's the matter? She goes, you haven't called me. I said, what? Well, my other pastor used to call me every week, and we talk on the phone. So let me clarify. When you choose a church, what happened to the other church might not happen to this church. Pastor, don't do that. Now look, I said, I don't call. And she was single. I said, was your pastor of the other church married? Yeah. And he called. And you're single? Yeah. And he called you every week? Uh-huh. That's not happening. There's some weird ideas out there. So I try to protect you so you don't even know it. I end up taking we don't do that here. We don't do that here. So interesting. I had a lady just recently. I shouldn't tell these stories, but she's done left. Because weird people don't last too long. And she had come from another state, moved, and you know what I mean? And she approached me. I was walking through the mall on Sunday after church. And, oh, Pastor, she wanted to do some leadership. She had been in ministry her whole life, which is wonderful. And I love people being involved, and I love starting new ideas. But just so you know, my heart, we have a process that we believe came from the principles of God's word.
And the Bible says your gift will make room for you, and we're into a relationship. And so I never, and it always, anytime I've ever tried to violate that, it burns me. I never try to put anybody in leadership role until they have proven themselves in serving. Because if you can't serve, you shouldn't lead. The Bible says if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much. Right? The Bible says, why should any, if you can't handle well what is somebody else's, why would anybody give you of your own? And so there's a testing. So I explain, oh, we love ideas, like birthing ideas. I like birthing new ministries, and I like killing new old ministries. Just weird, I know. But it's, even if it's nothing wrong with it, we'll kill ministries, say, okay, it's had its life, let's keep moving. Because the only thing that's sacred to me is God and His Word. So we're not going to get caught up with, we've always done it this way. Well, that's a goner. The moment someone complains that we've always done it some way, it's the first red flag that we're getting ready to have a cemetery service for that particular ministry, because I'm not going to be emotionally tied or bound by methods. We're connected to God. Can I get an amen? And so this lady came and I explained, hey, you know, here's what you do. We love starting new ministries, but here's what you need to do. Oh, okay. A few weeks later, and did she do it? No. So anyway, that's usually the testing ground if people just follow through. Few weeks later, she comes up to me after service, just recently, and says, oh, Pastor, you know, I just want you to know the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. Now, let me be real with y'all. I believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe God uses people to speak. But I've taught you that anytime God sends somebody, number one, it will be in line with the Word, and two, will always be a confirmation to you. Right. Never knew. You know, too many people have their own motivations, and that rule has always worked well for me. And so she came up and said, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. Well, that's first red flag. And she said, the Lord showed me, wanted me to tell you that He's going to use you to bring liberty and freedom to St. Louis and then to the nation. Second red flag, and not that it wasn't a nice thing, but when people lay it on too thick, come on. Right? When they work to your ego, that'd be second red flag. And I just looked at her and said, okay, thank you. Whatever. I mean, God bless you. I was polite. I try to be polite to everybody. And then she said, I need to tell you some things you need to do different. Yeah. Now we're getting to the meat and potatoes of her motivation. You need to do this different. You need to change this up. You need it. I'm like, wait a minute. I said, this is really out of order. And I said, I don't want to be rude, but I don't even know you. Oh, we know each other. We know each other by the Holy Spirit. I want to say, yeah, the Holy Spirit tells me you're a nut. But evidently, my nonverbal kind of communicated that because she said, so this will be my last time here. I'm like, well, thank you. Right. Goodbye. Because she had her own agenda. Right. That's called the Jezebel spirit, where they try to sound super spiritual so they can control the situation. Right? Okay, we're moving right along. I'm making people nervous. Choosing, number one, choose to belong. And this don't happen all the time, so I don't want you to walk away saying, I don't know if I want to choose that church. They have a bunch of weird people. No, they've done left. They have left the building. We got the best people around here at Hope Church, and they all said, amen. Amen. Say, choose to belong. Come on, say, choose to belong. That's membership. That's being part of a local church. Anybody tells you, oh, no, it doesn't matter what church you're going to, is foolish. Because Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Beware of their teaching. Because it's not the building. If you go to a church based on convenience, you will find yourself not having the victories that belong to you through the Word of God. You need a church that believes in the Bible, and that Jesus still heals, and He still delivers, and still saves, and still impacts our community. Amen? Number two, so after you belong, it's like a first base. Step one, choose to belong. Step two, choose to get involved. That's partnership. Now, you can skip these steps, and you might say, Pastor, do I have to do these steps to find community? No, but there's an exception. That's an exception to the rule. People are saying, man, I've been attending, but I'm not really feeling connected. I don't know anybody. My next question would be, well, first, have you joined the church? Have you committed in your heart? It's a relationship thing. Have you committed, this is where God wants me, I'm going to be part of it? Well, yeah. Okay, have you got involved somewhere?
Well, no, I don't have time for that. I mean, if you don't make time, you're going to miss the opportunities that God brings. Faith doesn't mean you sit back in the lazy boy chair of life and wait for everything to be dropped in your lap.
Right.
It's obeying God. Choosing to get involved. It's partnership. Say partnership. Ephesians 4:16, the second part of that says, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. Do you realize that when you do your own part, God uses you to connect you to other people to help them? Part of growing in the things of God is learning that it's just not all about you.
Right.
Part of growing in spiritual maturity is just not making every choice based on what's the best for you.
Right.
Although God rewards you, and there's many benefits to serving God, but it's learning to lay your life down for Him and the gospel's sake. Saying, Lord, show me what to do, because I'm not going to do it just because I'm looking for a reward. And there are rewards. But if you only go for what brings the greatest reward, the devil will tempt you with reward without sacrifice or obedience.
Right.
That's what he did to Jesus. Worship me and I'll make you over all these kingdoms of the world. What was he saying? Do it my way, not the Heavenly Father's way, and I'll get you the reward without the obedience. And that messes people up.
Right.
That messes people up. Because it's in the obedience of God that we grow, we learn. And we learn to follow God, not just what's best for us. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
So it's growing. It's growing. As a church, we utilize what I call small groups, and that's broken to a lot of different areas. But even growth groups, we have our small group Bible studies that we call Chat and Chew. These are opportunities to grow in the Word. Because you notice in that verse we read that they can grow in the Word, grow in their faith, grow in their knowledge. If you get involved in a small Bible study, then those getting ready, and I'm not trying to be a sales pitch here, but that starts up in September. But getting involved in a small Bible study group, I want to learn more. That's how you get to know people.
Yes.
Another way is serving, volunteering in the church. A third way is doing evangelistic outreaches, yes, reaching our community. When you begin to do stuff, use your gift, your time, your talent to make a difference with other Christians that have the same gift and talent and using their time, you know what happens? It's an opportunity for connection.
Right.
You're partnering with other people to be part of something greater than yourself that you could do on your own.
Yeah.
It's if one will put 1,000 in flight, 2, 10,000, it shows us exponential power increase when we become partners with other people in the local church. So it doesn't matter if you're an usher, if you're a greeter, if you're feeding the community, if you're doing the food pantry, if you're doing the clothing store, all these different outreaches or part of the Bible study. You know, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to get to know people. Now listen, pastor in the church can't do everything for you. We just create the environments and allow these things to happen organically. And I love seeing people get connected, like we just had recently, one of our outreach ministries, and they all got together and celebrated one of their birthdays, and they went to dinner together. And I thought, great. We didn't say, okay, there's someone's birthday, you need to schedule an event, you need to all get together. No, that happened organically. What is it? Because relationships are being built out of the direction of that group.
Right.
I like to think of it this way. I can't, from the practical standpoint, pastor everybody.
Right.
In fact, the rule is that one person has the ability to pastor up to 73 people as far as physical energy in a given day, week, month, and year.
Yeah.
So what do? I teach, I lead and feed. I teach from the platform, I touch through the groups.
Right.
I teach from the platform, I touch through the groups. So ministry, the lifeblood of ministry, meeting each other's needs, praying for each other, encouraging each other, all that stuff happens through the group dynamic. So if you come from a small church, you're like, oh, I love this church, I want to be a part, but you think pastor's going to call you every week? I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Can you imagine? I'd be on the phone all the time, besides the inappropriateness of calling. Oh my gosh, I didn't go down that road. It doesn't work that way. No, what do? We do it within the groups. We do it within the groups. And I typically do the pastoral side to our leadership and our core, the top tier, because then and it trickles down and they pass that on to the local body.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, I can't take on something that physically I can't do. God wouldn't ask me to do that. That's what Moses tried to do. And it took his father-in-law, Jesse, to come up and say, wait a minute, I got a better idea. Why don't we structure this differently so you're not overwhelmed with everything?
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
People come to me and say, and here's my own personal problem. I love people. And people will hit me off the side and say, hey, pastor. And I typically say sure to everything. And they know that. And then it comes back to bite me. So I try to tell people, listen, you need to, I try to redirect them to the proper leadership. Otherwise, I get leaders come back and say, did you tell them they could do that? Yeah, I probably did. I don't know. I talked to so many people. I don't even know who I talked to. Sunday. I'll tell you what, after church on Sundays, I go home, I eat, and then I zonk out for a couple hours. And it's a fresh start for me, brand new day, even though it's the evening, because there's so much going on. There's no way for me to retain it all. But I work through leadership. Ephesians 4:16, again, each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow. 1 Corinthians 3:9 shows us the outreach. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Notice this. In the context of what Paul is saying here is, one man, right before that verse, he said, one man plants, another man waters, but God gives the increase. He talks about the partnership of other people to make an impact in other people's lives. God is the one that's given increase, but we have a part. And that part is just not in things, it's in people. So when we feed people, maybe through our mobile market, or clothing, or our missions in the Philippines, when we're making a difference, we are investing in the lives of people. Partnership is, what can I do with somebody to make an eternal impact that might look like a practical thing in the moment? But I believe that the best way to evangelize is what we call to invest, then invite. You love people where they're at. You meet their need where they're at. And it opens up. We might not be the one that leads them to the Lord, but we might be the one that plants the seed and opens their heart for somebody else. One man plants, another man waters, and God gives the increase. That's why what we do, we keep that as the behind the scene for all our outreach. It doesn't matter when we tell people you can take cash out of the bucket if you have a need, or if we're giving backpacks to children, or presents at Christmas time, or Thanksgiving meals at Thanksgiving time, or the other outreaches, the clothing. I mean, you go to church and go to a free clothing store and get clothes. All of that is done because we are sowing seeds of love with no strings attached, because I know it works, because if people get their needs met practically with no strings attached, with only just to let you know that you're valuable, important, and Jesus loves you, that is a seed of the gospel that's being planted in their heart. Now, we may, and many times we do, have opportunities to also reap that and see them get saved and join the church. And we've had people that come to the outreaches and all of a sudden over a process of time get to know the people that are in those ministries and ask for prayer. And we got a prayer team, Sal's over to my left, and that will go through car to car and say, hey, is there anything you need? And their needs are getting met spiritually, but they come in and join the church and get saved. It works. But there are some people that might not. So it's not like we look at it and say, we had 17 outreaches this week and only 15 people came in, something's wrong. No, we keep investing. We keep sowing. The sower sows the word, Matthew 13. We keep sowing the gospel. One man plants, another man waters. God gives the increase. That's quality and quantity. The word gives us the depth, the quality, maturity, the knowledge. And the outreaches gives us the quantity, more people to reach. And my prayer is that we continue growing in both. Amen?
Amen?
Last but not least, step number 3. So step number 1, choose to belong, membership. Step number 2, choose to get involved, partnership. Step number 3, choose to connect, friendship. Friendship. Oh, I already got friends. You know, the Bible tells us, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Let me say it this way. Who you hang with will dictate where you're going in life. Who you spend time with will dictate where you're going in life. And there's that transition tension when you first get saved. You have unsaved friends. You need to reach them. You need to invite them. But then after a process of time, you need to realize some people you can't reach and make a difference in. And you need to just step away. Love them, but love them from afar. Because if you think, well, I'm just going to keep hanging with them and doing what we always do, looking for those opportunities. No, you'll find more times than not that they'll lead you back into the pit.
That's why it's good to have men and women that you're friends with that are of faith, that love God, that can be praying for you when you're in need, not gossiping about you when you leave. Praying for you, standing with you. The Bible also tells us, Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Choose your friends carefully because that's the direction of your life. Yeah. Find people in the church with the faith that will agree with you, pray for you, stand with you. And that's in the process you're learning and growing. Again, it's very practical. As you commit to the church, get involved in it, in serving, being a partner with the group, partner with others. And what happens, you're working with people, you get talking. Yeah. Doesn't have to always be about what's your latest verse you read. It can be, but it can be, hey, how was your week? What's going on? And you get to know each other, get to be there for each other, encourage each other. And that's really what I'm, even on the practical, this is kind of a church thing, it's been in the Bible forever, but I'm seeing down the road, because people have been locked up for so long, they are beginning to see the importance of community and what it brings into their life. Oh, I'll just connect with everybody by video screen. It won't work. You'll eventually start saying something's not right here. I'm telling you, God's created the connection for a reason. And as you spend time, listen, then you start working with people. You have an opportunity to get to know them. Then friendships are developed. Can you do that around other ways? Yeah, but again, it's an exception and not the rule. You're like, Pastor, how do I get to, I really want to have friends in the church. I'm going to get in, break through all this. That's how you do it. Commit to the church. Get involved. How do I get involved? Well, you know, you can go to the information center across the hall. We have an app that you can say, hey, check these groups out or check this volunteer opportunities out. You can do it that way. You can go on the website. A lot of different avenues. You find God, the direction of what God wants you to do. But if you sit waiting for everybody to come to you, you might be sitting there after a year or two saying, you know, I've been here for a year and I don't know anybody. Don't blame everybody. Yeah. Just say, I need to step up and begin to move toward community. To the path of community. It will make a difference. Amen? We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.